Married Van Conrad, written by Lilyhandra and read by the Patty, an Empire's fic. Tom had said, "This isn't working," very frustratedly, expecting that Stiegs would do what she always did and fix it. But she'd said, "I know," and sighed and rubbed her face and then left the room. Tom had sat on the couch for a few minutes, confused about what had happened, waiting for her to come back. She hadn't. He'd found her on the roof, not the first, second, or third places he'd looked. How did he not know her anymore? And she hadn't even looked at him when she'd said, "Maybe you shouldn't come back from Chicago this time." No one knows. Tom hasn't told anyone, and he's pretty sure Danielle hasn't either. Maybe if he doesn't tell, it's not really happening. Tom brings Lily so she doesn't have to be away from him while they're writing at try number 3 for the new album. And he sleeps the first night in the blue guest room that used to be Danielle's bedroom. He tries really hard to pretend nothing is wrong. It seems to be working. It works at the shows. It works in the van. Even when they visit Sean's mom's house and Stacy is there with the new baby, Tom holds it together. His chest twists a little, though. He and Danielle weren't ever going to have kids. She didn't want them. He didn't want them. He doesn't want them. But there's something about seeing Stacy and Mike and their kids. They're a family, and Tom's never going to have that now. He couldn't make it work with Stiegs. He won't be able to make it work with anyone. He's going to be that creepy old guy at shows, alone, invited to friends' houses for Thanksgiving because he has no place else to go and they feel bad for him. He has to excuse himself and go smoke a cigarette, which he can do now because there's no Stiegs to yell at him about it. Instagram filters look cool on the cigarette smoke. He captions it, "Sky in 3," and thinks to himself that if Danielle has unfollowed him on Instagram, he doesn't check. No one will get it. Sharon pulls him aside and says, "Danielle told me, but you need to know, he'll always be my son, sweetheart," and gives him a tight hug. Tom takes a deep breath of her mom perfume and then lets go, steps back. "I think I'm going to go stay with Sean for a while," he says. "You know?" "I do know. Are you going to take Lily?" Yeah, I think so." "Don't let go of the good things, honey. Not even when it gets hard. Especially when it gets hard." She squeezes his hand. Her eyes are so kind. He's probably going to cry. "Fuck." He bites his lip and nods. She squeezes his hand again and tells him to just take an overnight bag, and Max can drive his stuff into the city later in the week. And Tom has to flee before he really does, just burst into tears. "Tom?" asks Sean. He blinks at Tom, who's standing on his stoop. It's too hot for this. Tom can feel the waves of cool air coming out of Sean and Kristen's apartment. And he wants to be inside. So does Lily. "And Lily," he says, pointing down at where she's whining and stretching at the leash to get inside. Sean squints at him. "Do we have plans?" "I'm going to sleep on your couch for a while." Tom waits for it. One beat, two, then there it is, the smile. Sean beams at him, brighter than the awful fucking sun. "Awesome," he says, and steps back so Tom can walk into the cool, relieving darkness. "Danielle and I broke up," Tom says as he crouches to unhook Lily's leash. "She said not to come home. I mean, go home. Go back to Brooklyn."
"What?"
"Just, you know, we can't make it work anymore."
"You were making it work? I thought it just worked."
"I guess not." Tom can't stand up. He lets his backpack fall to the floor and then he just sits down. Sean's only cleaning ability is his dedication to sweeping. There's probably a full sink and mold growing on anything Kristen didn't want to eat in the last few days, and maybe even an old pizza box in the living room. But the floors are impeccably clean. Sean probably swept as soon as he got home. It's perfect for lying down and shutting his eyes and taking deep breaths. Oh God, Danielle left him. "Okay," Sean murmurs, and Tom feels the air move around him as Sean sits down. Then Sean tugs Tom's hair out of its elastic, moves his head onto Sean's damp, denim-clad leg, and starts petting Tom with long strokes, just like Tom pets Lily when she's anxious. "She left me," mumbles Tom. "That sucks, but it's okay. You're here. It's okay." Sean repeats himself over and over. Finally, Tom feels like maybe he can sit up, open his eyes. It's even darker. The end of the day, sunset. "Where?" Tom's voice breaks embarrassingly and he clears his throat. "Where's Kristen?" Sean hands him a glass of water. "She brought you this and then went into the bedroom. She'll leave this alone if you need space." Tom is practically on Sean's lap, but he gets it. Space from other people, never space from Sean. Tom can't remember the last time he needed space from Sean, actually. If ever. Sean's not his girlfriend, or his best friend, or his baby brother, or his colleague. He's Sean. It's not the same. "Nice to her," he says, and shuts his eyes again, leans harder on Sean. They don't talk about it, and don't talk about it, and don't talk about it. Kristen is really fucking nice to Tom, which makes him a little nervous. Like, where's the trick? But she just makes sure his brand of beer is in the fridge and that there's extra pizza for him. And she doesn't make him feel gross about kicking in for the food and weed. Just takes his $20 and thanks him. She and Sean have always been kind of like him and Stiegs are. Or, they don't make out in public and aren't super touchy. Tom holds Sean's hand more than Kristen does, he thinks. But they clearly like each other. Maybe that's what Tom and Danielle were missing at the end. After 12 years, they just didn't like who the other was anymore. Tom can't think of one great thing about Stiegs that's new. All the great things about her are the things that were great when they were younger, and are either still great now or have disappeared. He doesn't like thinking that maybe she stopped being able to see great things about him, too. It's all weird and fucked up. When he says that to Kristen while they eat avocado and steak sandwiches for lunch, she says, "I think Oprah would tell you that it sounds like you're taking each other for granted for so long. You forgot to know each other." "That sounds like Dr. Phil," says Tom sourly. Kristen has the TV going all day. Tom has never heard so much bullshit philosophy in his life, and he's known Gabe Zaporta for a decade. "Whatever," Kristen shrugs. "That's what it sounds like. You could call Ellen and ask for her advice on her show." "I don't want to call Ellen. I don't need advice. I just need to get over it and move on with my life. It's not like anything is really going to change except where I live." Kristen stares at him thoughtfully, then takes a bite of her sandwich and chews. Tom waits. He knows a delaying tactic when he sees one. Finally, Kristen says, "Well, you can stay here as long as you need to, whether you get over anything or not." Tom kind of wants to hate her, and he's not sure why, so he forces himself to smile and thank her. After lunch, when she disappears back into her office, and the TV gets loud again, Tom texts Sean, "Your girlfriend is so nice. What the fuck? Is it a trap?" "She's great, right? Love her and you." Tom scowls at that text, but locks it so he can't accidentally delete it. He only does that for Sean's text because Sean is awful, and almost all his texts are either really nice and make Tom feel good, or song lyrics Tom wants to keep around for later. Tom doesn't hear from Max at all, except for the same emails he sends the whole band with the songs as he's finishing them. Sean says he's not hearing from Max either, then wackles his eyebrows. Tom does not want to think about his baby brother getting his freak on. It took Max 24 years to discover sex, and now he's making up for lost time, and Tom cannot handle it. Neither can Danielle. She leaves mean comments on Max's Instagram photos. Tom stops checking Instagram. He doesn't want to look at her name. Sean and Kristen sometimes borrow their neighbor's car. It's really nice. So nice that when Tom takes Kristen to the airport so she can fly home for a weekend to see her parents, he's afraid to stop and get a cup of coffee because he doesn't want to drink it in the car. He brings the car back and parks it, hooks Lily to her leash, and they walk to the coffee shop. The shop gives him a bowl of water for Lily, so he lingers at an outside seat, getting sweatier and sweatier, wishing he had his camera. He uses his phone to take pictures of neighborhood dogs, neighborhood babies with parents who are clearly recovering pugs or goss, the neighborhood sunset. When he and Lily finally wander back to the house, Sean is home and well into a glass of really nice-smelling whiskey. Lily runs into the bedroom to lie in front of the AC that blows onto the bed. Tom gets his own glass, sits with Sean on the floor, and listens to Sean strum his guitar. He's just playing Spit the Dark over and over. That's okay with Tom. Do you think it's because I wouldn't take her name if we'd gotten married? I thought she didn't want to get married, Sean replies. She didn't, but I told her if we did get married, I wanted to stay Tom Conrad. Isn't it usually the girl who takes the guy's name? Yeah, but she Steeks. She couldn't be a Conrad anyway. Tom splashes more whiskey into his glass. It doesn't taste that great, but he'll take it. Well, I don't think that was it. Sean sits aside the guitar. Do you want to take someone else's name ever? I don't know. If I couldn't make it work with Steeks, like, I think that means I'll be alone forever, you know? You've known a lot of people longer than you've known her, and you're still friends with him. Sean frowns at him. Like who? John? Me? Tom blinks a few times. Oh, yeah, but I can't take your name. That would be weird. What? Tom Van Fleet. It's a good name. It's my dad's name. I definitely don't want to be your dad. Tom makes a face. He voted for Rand Paul. No one's perfect. Sean drains his whiskey. Do you want ice? I think I need ice. You should take my name, Sean Conrad. It has a nice ring, right? Sean Van Conrad, says Sean, snickering. He gets up and goes into the kitchen, calling back. I'm getting you ice. Tom sighs and leans against the couch. Sean Van Conrad. Sean Van Conrad. Sean and Tom Van Conrad. Tom Van Conrad, he calls. What do you think of that? Not bad, Sean says. He pours half his ice into Tom's glass, splashing whiskey everywhere. Sean and Tom Van Conrad. It's a good name. It's a portmanteau. Well, not really. Don't make up words, Tom grins at him. Sean Van Portmanteau. Tom Van Conrad hyphen portmanteau. I don't want to be a hyphen, but I'd be Tom Van Conrad. That's not so bad. And then would you believe that I would never leave you? Sean asks. He sounds drunk and curious. That's a terrible combination. But his eyes are so wide and so blue, and Tom likes him so much. He's just such a good fucking guy. I would totally believe you'd never leave me if you took my name. Tom answers just as solemnly as Sean asked. Okay, we'll go to Iowa tomorrow, Sean says, and he pours each of them another whiskey. Tom clinks his glass against Sean's. Okay, Iowa, he says. Maybe Sean wants a tattoo. Oh, maybe Sean wants a road trip to see a band. They could do that. It would be awesome. They could see a band and get matching Van Conrad tattoos and bring their guitars to play together. They'll have a really nice weekend. It'll be great. The drive to Iowa is so nice. Tom forgets how it can be just to go on a road trip with Sean and not be going somewhere. Not be on a schedule. Sean sings softly with the radio, songs he would never admit to knowing, and looks over at Tom and grins every few minutes. Tom is always grinning back. Maybe that's why Danielle left him. Maybe Tom should get the fuck over this. But 12 years! 12 years! Maybe he's entitled to a little sulking. They stop at Target, and Tom ponders it while Sean jogs inside. When he comes out, he's got a tiny Starbucks cup in one hand and a little plastic bag in the other. The Starbucks cup gets handed to Tom, who takes a small sip. Espresso. He opens his mouth and Sean smiles a tiny little curve of a smile. What? Demands Tom. Instead of the diatribe about Starbucks coffee he was about to go on. Nothing. Go ahead.
tell me how much you hate Starbucks and how you hate not being able to say how much you hate them because John still loves them and... Shut up! You are the worst, says Tom, but he's laughing. Thank you, jerk. You're welcome, Jerk Van Conrad. John grins wide this time, then pulls down the road to a gas station. The gas stations in Iowa are so weird. You have to be careful because the farm gas is the cheapest, and the next up is the 87 instead of the 87 being the cheapest. Tom always has to remind Max, but he never has to remind Sean. Sean remembers a lot of the important things. The things that are important to Tom, anyway. Tom blinks at Sean.
We're what?
We're getting married. Sign here.
We're getting married?
Yes.
Today? Right now?
Yes. No, says the lady behind the counter. Tom focuses on her and accidentally hyperfocuses on her eyes and makes creepy eye contact.
Damn it.
Yes, John says. He makes eye contact with her on purpose, leaning in. We're here to get married. It's legal. I want to change my name and everything. 3-day waiting period, she tells him. You sign, you give it to me, we process it. But today is Thursday, so your period won't be over until Monday. Then you get married in front of a clergy or a justice of the peace. Then you're married. And you change your name by applying for a new Social Security card.
I don't think I have a Social Security card, says Sean. He sounds confused.
You do. At least Tom knows this one. It's with the band stuff in the safe deposit box Sharon got us. Sean turns that damn smile on him again.
You're so good with our stuff!
Tom smiles back. Can't not. And the woman smiles too.
It's really wonderful to see couples in love, she says. Sign here and we'll get this started.
Tom signs. On the courthouse steps, Sean pulls out the small plastic Target bag.
I got you this, he says, and gets down on one knee. Get up, hisses Tom. People are already staring at them.
I'm never going to leave. You're never going to leave. Sean struggles to pull two silver rings out of the packaging, and finally Tom has to reach down and gently free them from their plastic prison. They're so ridiculous. They'll probably bend in days and turn their fingers green. He lets Sean slide one onto his hand anyway. The wrong hand, because Sean is Sean. Around them, people start clapping, and it's awful and embarrassing. But Tom hugs Sean as tight as he can anyway. Instead of driving back to Chicago, Sean drives him to one of those $39 a night motels and waves away Tom's cash. Kristen said to put it on the credit card. She's paying. It's her wedding gift.
Isn't she mad you're marrying someone else?
Tom wipes the sweat off his forehead with his bandana and tucks it away, then takes the emergency overnight bag from Sean. They always keep one in the van, just in case. And just in case happens so fucking often for them somehow.
You're not someone else. You're Tom. She's excited for us. Why would she be mad?
Sean frowns at him and unlocks the door of number 4. Sean had asked for number 4 specifically, saying it was his lucky number. He's such a weirdo. Tom loves him so much.
I don't know, he says finally, squinting at Sean. Standing in the dark doorway, Sean is just a silhouette, but Tom would know him anywhere. Sean's shape is like the shape of Tom's heart, pretty much.
I don't know why I even asked that.
You're such a weirdo, says Sean affectionately, and then steps into the motel room.
Come on, Tommy. We're having an early honeymoon.
Tom steps into the room. He blinks against the darkness and bumps into Sean, radiating heat at him from being in the sun. He leans his forehead against Sean, and they just stay like that for a minute. 2 minutes. Until Tom can't breathe because it's too hot and stuffy and has to step away.
Tom turns on the AC and Sean turns on the light. Then he turns around to see Sean grinning at him from the bed, the cheap silver ring glinting in the harsh yellow glare of the lamp. Tom is never going to be able to look away from that ring.
Sean Van Conrad, he says.
Tom Van Conrad, Sean says. I really love you, Tom tells him.
I know, says Sean, and cracks up.
Tom has to jump on the bed and beat him with a pillow until they're both laughing too hard and have to just lean against each other to catch a breath. The end. This has been Married Van Conrad, written by Lily Hendra and read by DePatty. Original story text can be found at archiveofourown.org/works/1001767.